Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans and chapter 1. And we're also going to look at a verse or two in chapter 13 in just a moment. But before we do that, I'll pray again after we read this text. But I want to pray before we even start this morning. Heavenly Father, You are most gracious and kind, and we do adore You. And as we see You, we adore You even more. And our wish, our prayer, our delight this morning is to see You more fully. And You had given us so many ways to do that. And I thank You for this word that You have poured by the Holy Spirit into a written form and into our hearts that it might come out, Lord. So, Lord, I don't want people to see how well I can preach. I want them to know, as they do, that I'm a small man, but that I have a big God. And Lord, there are physical needs and mental needs and spiritual needs and loneliness and depression and anxiety and physical pain and spiritual lethargy and apathy and too much zeal, if that could be possible. Lord, there's all kinds of different things that are present here today, and when people listen to this online or whenever they receive a copy or years from now or whenever, this side of heaven, Lord, we are still being perfected by the One who is perfect and perfectly lovely. And as we behold You, we are changed from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit. These are words that You have penned, Holy Spirit. What I'm asking for, Father, that Jesus would be glorified by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You would heal us today, that we'd be convicted where we ought to be and encouraged and given that courage and given that power and understanding what we have and anointed in such a way that we will take what we hear today and do something with it to Your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. I want us all to say one word. After I say it, you'll know what it is, and then you can just say it. Healing.
Healing.
That's more than just your body. It's your mind. It's your emotions. Let's do it one more time. All together. Healing.
Healing.
Amen. Romans 1. I'll read verses 8 through 15, and then we're going to switch over to Romans 13, and I'll read verse 8. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as the rest of the Gentiles. For I am under obligation, both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And then going over to Romans 13, and let me read verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Father, put this together in my heart, through my mind, out my voice, and into our ears and hearts. Let us be those that Jesus said, let him who has ears hear. Here we are, Lord. We are listening to Your word. Speak. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. We could title today's message, I Owe You Something. We could title it, Bringing Out the Best in Yourself. We could title it, Overcoming a toxic personality, lots of things. We'll go to several places today. But let me just state this right at the beginning. And you might be challenged by this. You might just back up right against this and say, no, no, no. But I know what you're supposed to do with your life. I know what you're supposed to do with your life. And I know what will bring out the best in you. Don't you like it when you're around someone that brings out the best in you? When they say in sports teams, like Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen, and Scottie Pippen was a great basketball player, but Michael Jordan brought out the best in him and all the players around him, and they won those 6 championships. Or Tom Brady, you may not like him, but you know, no matter who seems to have around him, he brings out the best in them. They go to other teams and don't do quite as good. He's able to do that. And don't you want it to be that way with yourself? Like you're in a unit, and you want, you know, the guy to bring out the best in you and the best in the men. When you're in battle, when you're in a church, when you're in your job, you want your boss, your leader, you want yourself to bring out the best in people. You know, aren't there certain people you hang around and you talk about God more freely, and you the fruit of the Spirit seems to flow more evenly, more fully? The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These things are easier. It's fun to be good. And there's other people that just bring you down like crazy. And they're complaining about everything. And they're one extreme to another. And you're thinking, I want to be on this extreme, not that extreme. But they don't seem to have an even keel. But we all want to be around people that bring out the best in us, right? Of course we do. And we want to be the kind of person that brings out the best in others. I love it when I'm around some of you and God just seems to be on me, and I can show you my love, and it's just a wonderful thing, and it's real and it's heartfelt, and we share Jesus, we share fellowship, and it's like we have that grin on our face, like we know, you know? You know. You meet certain people and you meet them and you're like, you know, it's cool. It's cool, right? And even when it's not so cool sometimes, you know that person, it's still cool. They bring out the best in you. It's a wonderful thing to find. What if there was a way that you could guarantee that you'd bring out the best in yourself and show it to other people? Not just putting your best foot forward on Facebook and making sure you get the picture just right and you know, doing this and that and the other thing, right? You take the selfie after 2 hours of positioning yourself or whatever. Right? Even when you're down in the dumps, if someone could bring out the best in you, right? That's what we want. But now let me ask you, let's look at the other side. How do you deal with a toxic person? When they're at work, you know, there's a toxic atmosphere creates poisoned performance, you might have heard me say. And if there's venom on your lips, there's poison in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you know, when you go and you look at the TED Talks, when you go and you look online, or you look at different YouTube communities, or in your school, or psychology, or social studies, or cultural conditioning, or anything like this, whenever they talk about a toxic person, all they ever do is say, this is how you recognize who they are. Avoid them. This is how you do this. You got to stay away. They never talk about how do you help heal someone of that. And what if you are that? Right? I have always hated that. Stay away from this person. Stay away from that type of person. You know, you never want that kind of guy. Well, maybe not, but what's ever going to happen to him? Jesus saves people like that, by the way. Because what if you are that toxic person? Are we here to say that the gospel doesn't change our lives? I mean, I hear even great preachers say, you know, your personality doesn't really change, and I don't believe it for a second. I believe that God can change your personality. Yes, I do. I know that it's true. I'm living that truth. Oh, that old bad JD shows up every once in a while. And it may not be your fault. It may not be that you bring out the worst in me. You ever seen a couple and they bring out the worst in each other? They say, we've never had a fight. You are a fight. But how do you triumph over your toxicity? Right? How do you help someone get healed? How do you heal it in yourself? Because again, those people are made in the image of God, and you need to see them as made in the image of God. And we all have our own little bits of toxicity. How is there something in this passage that we were looking at that deals with that? Yes, I'm here to tell you yes for sure. It's not everything about it, but if we could reorient ourselves around certain focus, around certain filters, This will help you, and I promise you. And Paul says, first, he had a lot of things going on. People were stopping him from coming to Rome. He had all kinds of churches, all kinds of people, all kinds of radical people, all kinds of toxic people. He had his own self to deal with. He was getting more and more, right? Understanding God more and more, becoming more humble, even as he recognized his sin more. Now, what is he talking about in Romans 1, 8 through 15? He's talking about the gospel. And I've got a couple of words, really just four words for you to memorize. But they're super simple because they rhyme, except the first one doesn't, but it's an acrostic. And what I heard someone, I think it was Dr. Ronnie Floyd, it might have been like 2001, and he was sharing something, I think it's Show Us Invitation to Life, I'm not sure. And he was sharing something from this passage, and he outlined it this way. And I thought, you know, I've remembered it all these years, and it's really powerful. And if you'd put that up on the screen there, it's focus. What is your focus? And your focus is first obligation, Christ universally shared. Focus. First obligation, Christ universally shared. You might write that down. You might remember it. It's pretty simple to remember. Your first obligation. It's not everything that you do. It's not as soon as you meet someone, you do that. It means all of your life, your mission in life is to share Jesus Christ. Some people you're going to be sharing the gospel with and saying the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, turn from your sins, etc. Some people you're just going to be talking with them on social media. You say, well, I'm housebound. Maybe you're listening to this and you can't read and you can't write and you can't do much, but maybe you're online. You share that. Or maybe you can just pray. But you're going to live for Christ, win others to Christ, and edify your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're sharing Christ. It's not always just preaching the gospel. You're not necessarily an apostle. Not everybody is going to evangelize all the time. But your obligation, your debt, and it's the same for everybody, is to share Christ. That might be sharing a meal with somebody. That might mean praying with somebody. That might mean saying, you know, I once was like this, but now God has done this, and I'm not perfect, but I know the one who is, and he has shown me his love, and now I want to give it to you. Now I want you to turn back over to Romans 13, because there's something here that I want to tie these together, and this is going to help you. Again, what is our focus to be? Our first obligation is Christ universally shared. This is going to be so powerful, you will remember this, I promise you. Look what he says again in verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. But look at verse 7. He says, pay to all what is owed. What? I'm going to explain that. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Hello? Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Here's all this owing and us paying, and then he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. What does he mean here? Well, when you are meeting with the President of the United States, all right, you may not like the President of the United States, but if he came in here right now, you say, Mr. President. That's the proper, you wouldn't call him Donald, you wouldn't call him Mr. Trump, you say, Mr. President. That's the proper greeting. That is the proper level of honor and respect. Right? Right now, I'm teaching and all that, and you wouldn't just yell, oh, this, that, and the other thing, you stink, this, that, and the other thing. That's out of line. That's not the proper respect for the teacher of God's Word. If I'm in your home, I wouldn't just go about and do what you might say, treat the place like it was yours, but not, you know, you don't really mean it that way, right? I don't. Well, there's so many ways I go here, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. And everybody's laughing because they know how I usually am. But that's the thing. That's right. That's the thing is you would show the proper honor. You wouldn't just say, you wouldn't just pull out the nice kitchen, you know, the nice china. When she has the chinette, you know, the paper plates out, right? You'd show the proper respect, the proper honor. If you owe the IRS, right, you pay them. That's the taxes that are due. You pay what people are owed, but that is a one-time obligation, right? You meet someone, you give them a handshake, right? That's normal. That's proper. That's what's owed in a sense. Does that make sense? But what he's talking about in verse 8 is not a one-time payment and not one-time obligation. He's talking about an ongoing obligation. He's exhorting believers to love their neighbors. And he says that love is a permanent obligation. Owe no one anything. In other words, don't get in arrears with love. You owe someone that works for you the paycheck, right? But this is something that doesn't go away. This isn't the mortgage that gets paid off. This is something that continues on and on and on and on and on. Love is a permanent obligation, a debt that can never be paid in full. But your currency comes from a source that can never be exhausted. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the hope of an eternal love. You owe everyone, I owe you, you owe every creature love. So you owe everyone the gospel, which is the greatest love. First obligation, Christ universally shared. Now, in the gospel, what is it? Your sins are forgiven, right? Jesus, now watch this. Anybody listening to me? Jesus has paid your sin debt. You had a sin debt. Remember how he sang? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, right? You had a sin debt, and Jesus paid that sin debt. It was a one-time payment. It's done, baby. It is finished. But now he's given you another debt, a love debt. But it's an ongoing obligation. He paid the sin debt and gave you another debt, and it's called a love debt. But it's also paid by Jesus. He gives you the resources to continually make that payment. In other words, he puts the money in your bank and you write the checks with your life. You see, what if I said, okay, you are going to have to go out and give everybody 50 bucks. I said, okay, everybody in this row, you know, you got 10 people in the row. We have like 4 people in the row. Anyway, you have 10 people in the row, and I give you, you know, 500 bucks, and you give each one of them 50 bucks. If you thought you weren't going to get any more, you'd be like, well, I don't know, but I got bills to pay. I got this. That's the way we are. We think life is a zero-sum game. Love is not a zero-sum game. Okay, so what if you do that now, and I gave Miss Claire $500, and she gave it all away, and all of a sudden, there was another $500. And then she's like, well, I don't know. Then she gives away another $500, and now $1,000 is there. You might start doing the math in your head and go, wait a minute. I have a sin debt, but it's been paid. No, I have a love debt, but the more I spend, the more I get. This brings us to our next three words. They rhyme. Show, grow, and know. You show love, and so then you grow love, and then you begin and to continue to know love. It's when you show the gospel, when you live it out, when you see every person as made in the image of God, and that you owe them a debt. You know how you act around when somebody, you owe somebody a debt? You try not to be around them sometimes, but if you have the money to pay them, right? When you got that money, it's like, you owe me $2,000. And the day you get the $2,000, you're like, I got the money, right? Now you're reconciled, it's good and all that. You owe everybody love. You owe them the gospel. And so you show them that. You show them that love. I do care about you. I want to know what's going on with you. I do pray for you. It may not be perfect, but I know what I owe you. And I owe you to show you how the gospel has affected my life. And I've got this thing. My sin debt's been paid. I want to show you. I want to show you. I want to show you. And when you do that, it comes back and it grows. It's an inexhaustible resource. This is what Jesus has put inside of you. He's put his love inside of you. And so you show it, and it grows. And you bring out, what's the best in people? Jesus is the best in people. How do you bring out Jesus in people? You share him with people, and then our spirit bears witness with your spirit that we're the children of God, or it's people that don't know him, and you're showing what the love of Christ really looks like. Anybody I'm pointing to today, I'm not saying this is you or that. All right, we got some Christians here, I know that. But I want to share the gospel with you no matter what. Right? And so you show people. You don't just browbeat them. You don't say, well, everybody is running away from the toxic person. I'm glad that Jesus didn't run away from me when I was as toxic as a person could get. Right? And so then you show it, and it changes you. You start growing. You want to grow in Jesus? Start sharing him. Start sharing him. It'll work. It will work. We think it won't work because everybody tells us to avoid certain people. But Jesus says, don't avoid them. Attack them with love. Right? He goes, my first obligation, he goes, to barbarians. That sounds pretty wild, huh? Or Greeks. People that know Jesus, people that, you know, have grown up around him, grown around the gospel, whatever, or people that haven't. Or the wise or the foolish. You think, that person's too smart for me. No, they're not. They're not too smart for Jesus. And we're so afraid to say, you know, me too. You know, part of me too needs to be me too. I did it. Not just me too, it happened to me. Just about everybody I know is both. In some way, they abused their power, right, over somebody else. Took advantage of the vulnerable, right? See, people don't want to crack open that. How are you going to help people? You know, hurt people hurt people. How are you going to heal hurt people? You show that you're healed and bring healing to them. How do you do that? You share Jesus Christ with them. First, obligation, Christ, universally shared. As you show that, then you grow in that, and then you know that, and then it becomes overcoming your own toxicity. If you are feeling you have a heartache, you have a headache, you have a bellyache, the way to get over that ache is to share with somebody the love. You do that and things change. Not, don't feel guilty about this. I'm not talking about making yourself feel, oh, I'm so obligated, this and the other thing. Just see people as an opportunity, not an obstacle. You see them as made in the image of God. And so you love them because Christ loves them. And if they know Jesus, then you're sharing Jesus and it's good. And you're bringing out the best in you and bringing out the best in them. And if not, you're speaking into their life. Right? The best thing that you have is not money to share with them. The best thing you have is not just your experience to share with them. The best thing to have is to share all of what you have through Jesus Christ to them as the source. And it never runs dry. It's meant to replenish itself and to grow rivers of living water. You don't hook them up to the spout. You drown them out. Again, you had a sin debt, but it was paid by Jesus. It's a one-time payment. Now you have a love debt, but it's an ongoing obligation. But it's also paid by Jesus. He gives you the resource to continually make that payment. He puts the money in the bank, and you write the checks with your life. Again, you had a sin debt, now you have a love debt. But the more you spend, the more you get. When you show it, you will grow it, and then you'll know it. When you give it, then you live it. I make it rhyme all day. This is the Bible. Paul's saying, you know, you pay what you owe. You know, you have obligations. You've got things you messed up. You've got to make restitution, everything like that. That's fine. But you know what you really owe? The same thing I owe to everybody. If you're a Christian, your sin debt has been paid by God's love. And now he's given you that deposit of love. And the way to invest it, the way to grow it is to invest it. And you invest it on other people. And then it grows. And we don't believe this because we want to think, I just got to figure out who I can avoid. I got to figure out how I can make myself so better. I'm telling you how. That's what Paul said. He goes, I'm trying to do this, but I've got to do this for everybody. I pray that I can go there and then we can be mutually upbraided, upbuild. You see, people are prone to become desperate when they think they're going to run out of something. Food, money, attention, approval, recognition. Right? Your sweet little one. And then there's another sweet little one, and there's one toy. Dun, dun. Right? It's war. Or, you know, you finally got with that cute boy, and then your friend comes over, who may just be a little better looking than you, maybe involved in something he's involved in, and you're jealous because you think it's going to happen. You think this, that, and the other thing. There's all kinds of things that we will compromise. We think, I'm never going to get a guy like this. It doesn't matter if he's godly or not. It's what I want. Really? You can grow in the gospel by sharing it. And I'm not just saying evangelism, not just saying witnessing. I'm saying you see people as made in the image of God, and you are obliged to show them love. And the greatest love is the gospel. That's the greatest love. Whitney Houston was wrong. The greatest love of all is not learning to love yourself. That's the way of the world. It seems wonderful, but it's not. Think about it. Well, I've got to learn how to deal with this, that, and the other thing. Do it better than that. Jesus, just start sharing me and I'll change you. That's what you want to do. That's the power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it doesn't just mean I'm saved from my sins and I'm going to heaven. It means I'm saved from that power and God can overcome that toxicity by himself. And he says, here's how you do it. I'll give you the money. Start writing the checks. I'll give you plenty of love. Just keep writing the checks. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I know what you're supposed to do with your life. I know how to bring out the best in you. The filter, the focus, first obligation Christ universally shared. You show it, then you grow it, and that's how you know it. So what do you do with that? You pray about it each day and say, Lord, help me see people as you would see them. Not everybody's a project or anything like that. It just means when the person cuts you off in traffic, they're made in the image of God. They're toxic. Maybe they've had a bad day. Maybe they're just bad. But how does that stop your love? Either they poke a hole in it and the balloon comes out, you keep sharing it, and it'll come fill itself back up. Huh? What do you do this week when, you know, you get in the 10 items or less line? There are some laughs here. And someone has definitely more than 10. Even if they can't count, it's more than 10. It's more than 20. And then they have this coupon and pennies here and this. And wait, register check, please. And all of that. And meanwhile, the thing says, you can have 5,000 items. Everybody's cruising through that, baby. And your gut wants to demonize that person. And now everything that you're feeling all throughout life, whether it's your relationships here, there, the other thing, gets put on this one person. I cast thee out, O demon. We always feel so willing to consign people to hell that are not like us. And so willing to be nice and confine people to heaven that are like us, that vote like us, that think like us, have the exact same doctrine as us, even if they're not Christians, folks. The fact is they're made in the image of God, and they deserve your love. And sometimes that love doesn't mean always just active things. It's omission. It's like, I'm not going to give this guy half a peace sign and tell him I'm number one. Do you get my point? Do I have to drop one of these fingers? Please don't make me do that. I won't. But you know what I'm saying? Right? That's what you want to do, but how do you change that? How do you change that about yourself? Just start giving the gospel away. Do what somebody you like first. It's easy to do. Just start talking about Jesus and then say, okay, I've had enough. Go talk to somebody else. But you're supposed to love your enemies. How do you love them? You want them to change. What if someone was your enemy because they took your job? They took your this or they took your that, but you could clone it or get another one. You gave it to them and you both had one. Now you're friends. Now you don't have to fight over that. You don't have to fight over love. It grows and grows and grows and grows. I don't have to be jealous about someone saying, I love Margie, right? They have a different relationship with her than I do. But I want you to love on her. When you gave her all those hundreds of flowers a couple weeks ago, whatever, it grew. And now we planted them, and now we had to buy more pots and do more soil and talk to people about no stuff, how to do this and that, and we have a new obligation. But that's it. People think that love is something they have to hold on to that doesn't grow, and it does. How does it grow? Who is the source of it? It is Jesus Christ. So what do you do? You want to grow it? You got to show it. Then you grow it, and then you know it. And then when you have it, when you've got that, every time I spend $50, I get $100 deal going, you keep spending $50. If it could be where if I took more people out to go to dinner each week after church, pretty soon we'd have the biggest church in the world, right? And you would love it. You'd be like, this is wonderful. This is great. This is great. How incredible is God? Because I can't put two sticks together or whatever they say. And yet here we go. Love is like that. The gospel is like that. It's meant to spread around. He goes, I owe that obligation to everybody. Paul went to the whole known world at the time. I mean, that's incredible. And he said, I want fruit, man. I want it. And I'm going to spread it. He goes, I've been hindered, but I'm going to be like a bulldog, tenacious. I'll make it there. You should make that your life's creed. It's like, I am going to show people love. That doesn't mean they'll show it back. But you have it, and it doesn't exhaust it. They can just do everything to you and be as toxic as all get out, but they cannot harm you. Have I made sense to anybody? What are you supposed to do with your life? Live for Christ, win others to Christ, edify your brothers and sisters in Christ in the context of wherever you are. If you're a bowling professional, if you do the windows, if you're a plumber, if you're a mom, if you're very old and by yourself, if you're hearing me now, you can share the gospel. You're doing it now by listening. You're sharing in it. Paul says, I want to mutually do this. He was doing the preaching, they were doing the listening. But I'm sharing it, and you're sharing it, because we're sharing it together. Because it ain't me. you know? Me doesn't do this. Me uses some words and this, that, and the other thing. It's Jesus. When you get that feeling and you know, this is good, I want to hold on to this, that's not me, that's Jesus. Yes. When you hear that, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, that's not me, that's not Jesus, that's not you, that's the devil. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the way to overcome all this, is to share the gospel. That's what we got to do. If that means you need to stand on a street corner on Friday nights, then baby, you should do it. If that means you got to go to this meeting or not go to this or do that, then that's what you do. If that means you're going to finally have to talk to that person in your family that is just toxic, when they're just seeing all the... How would you feel if you knew, you found out you were the toxic person in the mirror, and all of a sudden the capital T was on your forehead, and you see all these videos that say, well, avoid this person, don't do this. Don't you see that in everything? And whatever happens to that person? I'll tell you who wants that person. Jesus wants the toxic person. Because no poison can he not overcome. Who here has been overcome with toxicity and yet has overcome their toxicity and is beginning to do it? I see hands all over the place, and it can happen. So you ain't feeling good today? Share the gospel. I'm sick to my stomach. Do it online. You're going to go on social media anyway, aren't you? Right? I'm mad at my mom. I'm mad at my spouse. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at that. You want to get over anger? Share the love. Right? This isn't working for me. I don't have enough money. I don't have. You know what you do have? That you have an abundant supply that never runs out? Share that. Because you know what? You wind up doing that, someone will give back to you anyway. You show them love, they'll say, well, what do you need? I need $50. I mean, you know, how else would you do it? Link up with other people. Show love. This is what we do on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Monday evenings, Wednesday evenings. Whenever we get together is we show each other the love of Christ. We say, Christ is the reason. He's the first obligation. He is universally shared. That means with a 15-year-old, a 51-year-old, or a 150-year-old, or a 15-second-old. Oh, we have babies still being born, hallelujah, in this church. And when they do, the first thing you know, say, what do they say? I love you. Oh, sweetness, then, oh, my poor, my precious, my little, I love you. That's the thing you feel. You look at them, and even we do it with the kids here. You know, you take the ones that are just a little bit old, and I'll just walk over here to one of them. And she ain't in there. But she's in the little nursery that I'm going to walk back to. We don't have a huge church, so I can do this. And I look at him, and I say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then when people know it back, and then you do that, it doesn't become this thing where it's just old and everything like that. Don't you need to do that to somebody today? Just show them a little love. You know, I was talking to one of my best friends in the world the other day, and they had written a sermon, and they're going to preach it tonight here. And so you know who it is, one of my best friends I've ever had. And he sent me something, and it was like 1 something in the morning, and I just happened to get up and I looked at it, and I could have said, I haven't finished my Sunday school lesson, I haven't finished this lesson, but instead I said, I'm going to read this through. And it was beautiful. And I said, you did beautiful. There was a good strong opening that fit the text. You went through the text, and then you applied it, and then maybe you could do this. And then, you know, I was paying attention. Remember this one? And he was like, that meant so much to me. Do you bless your children? You know, can we bless our way out of toxicity? Yes. The way you grow love is you invest it, and you have an endless supply. It's no skin off my back at all. When I don't act like that, it's when I forget that. How do you get over that? Well, sometimes you need to feel it, but feel it from Christ. Feel it from the gospel. Realize that. Pay honor to who honor's due. Pay respect to who respect is due. Pay tax to who tax are due. But pay love to who love is due. And you know who it's due to? Everyone. Everyone. Even those people that yell and scream at you or whatever, you know, say they were my size and you are, you know, huge size. How do you love that? Well, just leave me alone and you know, don't beat the crap out of me. Pardon my language. Right? You put up with someone. You have patience. There's so many ways that you can do it. You owe love. You have a love debt. Who here has Christ paid the sin debt for you? Amen? Amen? He's paid the sin debt. Who here realizes they have a love debt? That should be everybody. And you can pay it. And you show it, you grow it, and then you know it. And then it becomes so much more easy to walk in. What's the focus of your life? Your first obligation. Christ, universally shared. I owe you something, and I intend to give it to you. As much, as long, as strong as I can. And you can pray that we do it for each other and be mutually uplifted and show the world Christ and show toxic people there's a safe place here and that you can overcome this. Such were some of you, the Bible says. But God. See, the world just says, well, take these drugs. Well, avoid this person. Well, they'll never change. They have a criminal mind. Right? They can't change. But Jesus Christ is in the business of change. And that's what you're sharing in the gospel. Like, Jesus Christ is in the business of change. I was once like you, and I'm no better than you. There but for the grace of God go I. Oswald Chambers says, I've never met a person who was beyond God's grace I realized it. Once I realized that except for the grace of God, I have the same sin. Right? You say, well, I've overcome certain things, but not other things. You want to start overcoming them? Share the gospel. Share love. Love is what overcomes those things. You say, well, it's not going to work exactly. It may not work in the way you think, but there might be some underlying thing that causes the thing that you think is the bad thing, and love will help that. And by the way, is it going to help at least a little bit anyway to share the gospel, get your mind off yourself? Hello? Yes. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are most gracious and kind. You are worthy to be shared and enjoyed, and that's your mission. Is this mutually sanctifying influence of church people meeting together and then going out and sharing the love of Christ to everyone. Our great God, the Creator, Sustainer, Lord, and Reconciler of the universe, Lord Jesus Christ, you who live this sinless life, died this atoning death, and are coming again to sweep us into your everlasting kingdom. Now, let us spread your kingdom here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.